All right. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you guys?
All right.
1:37 p.m. We will call our meeting to order. Okay, can I get a motion on the minutes?
So moved.
I'll second.
Any discussion on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so unanimous on the minutes.
And then, Mr. Chair, if we could go ahead and move to item 5 and do that item next, that would be appreciated for scheduling purposes.
We most certainly can. So, do I need a motion to discuss it? Or can we just start?
We can proceed with our presentation, and Lewis McClure is going to give a presentation.
Okay, very good.
Thank you, Suzanne. So in March 2017, the board adopted resolutions which established Community Facilities District 2017-1 and designated improvement areas number 1 and 2 therein. The action before the committee today involves improvement area number 1 only. Mm-hmm. The board resolutions authorized the levy of a special tax, determined the necessity to incur bonded indebtedness, and called an election within improvement area number 1. An election was held within the improvement area, at which time the landowners voted to approve the issuance of bonds. The proposed bonds would be in the estimated amount of $75.8 million, and the bonds are estimated to have yields ranging from 1.8 to 3.6%, depending on their maturity. The proceeds of the bond will be predominantly used to pay for the acquisition and construction of public facilities related to the development within the improvement area. The development is planned for 9 projects consisting of 752 residential units, of which 628 are expected to be market rate units, and 124 age-qualified units. The development will be undertaken by the following merchant builders: William Lyon Homes, Meritage Homes, The New Home Company, Pulte Homes, and the Cal Atlantic Group. The attached market absorption report prepared by Empire Economics estimates that all residential units will be sold by 2022. The market value of the land and improvements in Improvement Area 1 was appraised at $240 million as of November 15, 2017. The estimated total tax rates within the improvement area range from 1.8 to 2% of the estimated market value of the time of the units of sale. Then the estimated tax burden includes overlapping debt of the Santa Margarita Water District, the Capistrano Unified School District, and the Metropolitan Water District, as well as the base property rate of 1%. With the estimated tax burden being 2% or less, the estimated market value of 2017-1, it's in compliance with the county's policy. The Miller-Roos Act provides that a CFD may sell bonds only if it determines that the property that will be secured, that the special taxes secured by the property are equal to more than three to one. This is referred to as the value to lien test. And the county special tax consultant has calculated the value to lien at 3.4 to 1. So staff recommends the issuance of the bonds based on the following. The proposed bonds are in compliance with the county's policies and the Miller-Roos Act. The value of the improvement area will continue to increase with the building and the development of the project. The analysis by Empire Economics indicates a favorable absorption period, and both the developer and merchant builders have a history of success in Orange County. This CFD is consistent with the county's formation and financing of previous CFDs and supports the county's commitment to construct public improvements with development.
Does that conclude the presentation?
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Anything further? Okay, mm-hmm. Wonderful. All right, Tom, did you have some questions?
This is an observation dash question, so correct me if I'm wrong about what I read in the prospectus here. But typical of all of these deals, the ownership structure of this is very, very, very complicated. I mean, LLCs owning LLCs owning LLCs and what have you. And the master developer, RMVPA2, is that right? Development Inc., whoever that is. And I did see a little cursory balance sheet for those people in here. And as I understand the way these bonds work, that the bondholders, their collateral is really the special tax that's been passed. In other words, the revenues from the special tax has been passed. The developers, the master developers, nor the merchant builders that bought these properties really have any obligation to pay these Miller-Roos bills. Am I right so far?
Well, yeah, I guess I would say that the security is really
right. But it indicated in here that there's no assurances that the master developer will make these, pay these bills if you have to.
There's no personal liability, mm-hmm. if that's what you're asking.
Or LLC liability.
But it is secured by the land.
It's secured by the land and the special tax.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Well, the special tax is what's paying for it. Yeah.
I just wanted to make that point, and if we can drop that in a minute so that the supervisors really understand that. Mm-hmm. In case they don't, they probably already do understand it, but I just wanted...
So if I could just add, you know, while the properties are being sold and the ownership interest is a builder or the master developer, Ken is right, and Ken Wolfson, I'm for the tape where I'm trying to all identify folks, is correct. The security is the land, so the master developer and the builders have an obligation to pay the special tax until they sell to the individual owners, and if they didn't pay, the county could foreclose on the property.
Right. But then the only point is in the event of a catastrophic meltdown, and I'm not arguing the value of the property or the appraisal or anything, but in a catastrophic meltdown, there's really no, you can't look to the master developer or the owners of the property to pay these bills. It's only the special tax. Now, the TEDR applies here. Am I right about that?
That's correct.
And also, only subject to the county at will, killing the TEDR plant, which we can't at any time. Am I right about that?
There are certain procedures. It's difficult to unwind the TEDR program, but I mean, the county loves the TEDR program. In fact, we're in a period right now that we would personally like a little bit more delinquency, because that brings in penalties and interest that the county, up to 28% per year the county can make on the TEDR program in penalties and interest. So
we differ. And they're not happy because it's probably down to 0.5 on the secured, so it's a very small.
No, I understand that, and I understand it's been a very successful program, and nobody wants to kill the TEDR program, but in a great catastrophe happening, you could kill it, and the bondholders would be out on a land. That could possibly play out. I just wanted to make that point. I'm not suggesting that, but it's just a...
Theoretically.
It's just a fact.
Sorry.
Mr. Chair, if I might just ask an additional follow-up question from Mr. Hammond's question. So... once the bonds are floated, the land, which, you know, until it's sold to the next party, it would be the master builder, or it would be the owner, and then each of the builders then, as they take ownership of their property. But when it goes to the individual, isn't that individual's land still the collateral for the bond? So yeah, it weeds out through all the way to the individuals, and my understanding is, because of course we prepare the tax bill, actually the auditor controller provides us all the tax rate areas, we actually formally put the bill together, they provide us all the details for it. So under the assessments we have the CFD or the Melrose charge on it. If they don't pay, I believe the district can also, they don't have to wait for the 5 years for the county, they also could foreclose on the property individually, and that's where the property would be the backup individually for paying their portion of that that debt, which again is calculated by the auditor controller based on the values and all the other items that he handles.
But I'm guessing that Commissioner Hammond's scenario is before it is fully developed, and this catastrophe,
right, and the value of the property drops down, then that would be that property, and if the property is worth a half, and that's where that 3-to-1 value ratio is important, the 3.4-to-1, because if that's not enough, then exactly that would be the only collateral that would be left to.
But it would require a lot of things to happen. The land would have to drop to 1/3 of its value, and we would have to foreclose, and it would have to not be developed. A lot of ands there.
Just to make sure that the TEDR covers the property tax base plus the special tax. Am I correct?
Correct.
So TEDR advances the special tax money.
Correct.
Okay.
And then maybe just a follow-up, I'm not sure if this is the right period, but of course we had the significant tax law changes that occur, January 1st, those are in place, where the SALT limitation now is the 10,000 for state income tax, state sales tax, and state property tax, or county property taxes, essentially. I know there's always been discussions about whether, you know, Mello-Roos taxes are deductible, and we don't give any tax advice, but there has to meet certain conditions to be deductible. Do we expect that to have any impact on the study that was done on the absorption rate of those? And is there something that we could comment on? Because of course that was probably done before the new tax law changes, and that has some changes. So I'm not sure if that's the right time now, but I would like to hear a little bit about that. And is that changed the absorption rate? I know we don't do a new study, but I would like to get some input on how we think that's going to change it. Because again, that land isn't going to do anything to the real estate prices.
You know. And, you know, with the committee's permission, we have Joe Jancic, our economist from Empire Economics, who, you know, if you'd like to just say a few words about.
Hi, Joseph Jancic, Empire Economics.
Mm-hmm.
With respect to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, we have done some research with regards to the potential impacts.
Mm-hmm.
And the research that we have done is on a conceptual level.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, the SALT is the primary limiting factor, more so than the standard deduction, because it caps state income taxes and property taxes primarily at the $10,000. The changes that are potentially likely to happen don't have at this point any precedents to rely upon.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a complex set of factors as to how they'll play out. The state of the economy, whether it's robust or a slowdown, the attitudes of consumers, to the extent that they have additional non-deductible costs and they have to pay the taxes on that money before paying those additional property taxes or
mm-hmm.
or mortgage interest, whether they'll take that money from other parts of their budgets,
mm-hmm.
cars, vacations, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What we're looking for over the next several months would be how this unfolds in the marketplace so we have some bases. What's likely to occur is, first of all, for certain projects, we would look to see if their absorption rates are impacted, they slow down. Most likely the next step by a builder would be to offer price discounts on a unit by unit basis to get a gauge as to what incentive would be needed in order to bring a buyer back into the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, you know, at some point with the next phase as it goes on, there may be some kind of a price adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, although we understand the concepts and, you know, the potential impact of that, it's very difficult to quantify that at this point in the time. And our absorption schedule, as mentioned, goes over a five-year period. Most of the product is within 3 years, and some of the higher priced product goes out 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we have a sufficient cushion in there at this point in time to handle these potential impacts.
Well, it seems that the impact is that it's sort of a subtle indirect increase in the cost of housing. Now, because we all know people who buy houses, it's how much per month they can afford to pay. So it does have a subtle impact on it. So the question is will it affect housing? I mean, housing prices or mortgage rates go up? All this goes into the factor in considering this. And the tax deductibility is an issue. It's like your interest rate.
Yeah, you're correct. In terms of the psychological and financial impacts of deductibility, $100 of previously deductible costs, whether they be mortgage interest or property tax or even state tax, that was subsidized by the marginal tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
But now that $100, you know, if we're over the SALT limit, for instance, or the mortgage limit, that is not subsidized anymore. And so the household will have to find, if they want to continue to make those choices,
right.
With buying a house, some of which has some costs which are not any longer deductible, then they'll have to see if they want to take money from other parts of their budget, buy a smaller house or whatever. Again, we don't have precedent, so we need to see how it plays out in the marketplace.
It'll be subtle. it'll be hard to figure out. It'll take a while to figure it out, but it will creep through. It will affect housing prices because these houses are 500,000 plus, and there's you're bumping up on the salt right there. I mean, that's $8,000 in interest right there, just in these houses. So it will have an impact.
Mr. Chair, I think you have a question for Mr.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'd like to call the question.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to call the question.
Oh, you want to call for it? Okay. Yeah. Well, I think Sherry had a question first.
Oh,
you needed to get there.
Time, so
okay,
that's why
we'll expedite.
Yep. Mine was answered by him. I was just going to look at the value, the prices, and say that you know some of them are even over the million, and those obviously that's 10,000 in taxes. So
yeah.
it's going to push them up through. And but you're again at this point, you don't see any significant items that would affect it. And looking forward, from what you can tell, obviously you don't have any history, but you know. You know, those are things that are there. Obviously, we do have the 3-to-1 values, and you know, hopefully, values aren't going to drop significantly because the economy is well and people have more money, which is the intent. I'm fine.
Okay. Any further questions? All right. I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none. Motion carried. Mr. Jancic,
yes.
Right? I had a quick question for you. It's not relative to the vote, but I was curious. Your position, you're an advisor or
okay,
prognosticator?
basically, a long, long time ago, back in the mid-70s, I earned a PhD in economics. I was at California State University for 10 years. And for the last 30 years, I have done consulting only for public entities. I've been involved in over 500 community facilities districts, including all the community facilities districts for the County of Orange since 1987, which would be about 25.
So just a few.
So we only do consulting for the public sector.
Okay, so it wasn't too far off to say you're a prognosticator of property. What's your view on the next 4 years? They've got a five-year plan, and we're looking at a lot of broad things here, absorption and price and the impact of the tax. What's your overall
we're a long ways into the economic upturn in terms of the length of it, but the rate of growth has been only moderate. Uh-huh. With the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that's going to be deficit spending, so I would think that will help push up growth rates further, hopefully not too much so we don't have significantly higher mortgage rates, but I would say we're into the upside, you know, for the foreseeable future.
So bullish market for the next several years.
Yes. Challenges here and there, like, you know, the tax policy changes, potentially higher mortgage rates, but the underlying fundamentals of job growth, et cetera, are strong drivers.
I appreciate that. Matter
sure.
of your credentials, it's nice to hear something like that. Okay, we'll move on to another item.
Mr. Chair, I need to bring it to your attention that with Mr. Woolery's...
We've out of quorum.
Yes. Yes. So
so that concludes our meeting.
Right, so we would need to table the remaining items until the next meeting and agendize them there. So
okay.
That would be...
I have just a question of information, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Chairman. Can I
yes.
bring up on this with respect to the system of appointing the chair and the vice chair. So how do you think we should handle that? Do we need to amend the bylaws of PFAC, or can we just make a policy, or what?
Well,
what do you recommend?
Our thought is when we elect the chair and the vice chair, and then when we've agendized the memo, the proposal for amending, our thought was that once the committee came to agreement on how that would be handled, we would amend the bylaws. And
so you do a bylaw amendment?
Yes, and bring them back for your committee's
thank you again.
Approval.
We'll That's be looking right. for the invite to the next tour.
Oh yeah, Suzanne, you were out of the room. I'm probably like out of line, but you were out of the room at that time, and they're looking forward to the tour, another tour.
Okay.
Well, we
want
to see what they're going to build.
There's been more development now,
right? I think that would be good.
What's going on.
So, and Sarah did mention the video, but they want the floor.
Not nearly as much.
Right. True. Okay. Well, Yeah, we'll work with the ranch to schedule another tour at a time that.
Okay.
Yeah, they're happy to do it.
Who was taking, I saw them taking pictures.
I had to talk with
for anything in particular?
I do not know who those people were.
Could have been for a newsletter because it's a public meeting, so I'm assuming maybe they were members of Mr. Woolery's staff?
That's what I was thinking, but I didn't recognize them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I think they were together. They came together. So, Mr. County Council, do we need to ask if there's any members of the public or anything like that, or is just the meeting just over?
I think it would be smart just to ask if there's any members of the public
okay.
who wish to speak.
Are there any members of the public that want to speak before we adjourn our meeting? Having the usual crowd, we will call the meeting over at 1:57, which I believe is a record for us.
Okay.
And then Eric did bring his citizens report.
Oh, great,
which
excellent.
Must have just been recently
look at
released.
Those. Nice.
So I'll pass those down.
Great.
On his behalf. Anybody who wants a copy? I know it's got a public safety theme this year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It's not animal shelter.
I know our Tapper had the same public safety theme this year. Mm-hmm.
That's from the sheriff's job.
Terrific. All right. Well, that being the case, our meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll pick it up again next.
And the next meeting is scheduled for
February 8th.
Okay.
But I'm not anticipating we'll have anything to bring February 8th.
Okay.
But we'll, as soon as we confirm that, we'll let everyone know so they can look, you know, mm-hmm. confirm their schedule. And,
perfect.
And just to let you know, we're Michelle and myself, and we're going to be looking at the procedures again to figure out some ways that we can get some better attendance on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, brainstorming to see what we can do about that.
I suggest that you speak to the supervisors, and when they pick somebody, to just make sure that attendance is important.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the problem's at your end.
It's just, I mean, we went through this before for a while.
And on Suzanne's behalf, we have done that.
We reach out to the supervisors. We have an attendance log that we keep, and we're providing that. And
we've tried a lot of things, so we've got a few more things in mind that we're going to work on. So that could be one of the things that you might see.
Right, and this one was because it's the special meeting was obviously not on the normal day. Hopefully, the normal days, And I think the difficulty is, when we have it every month and we only meet once every 4 months, it is a little bit more difficult because then you think, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to meet this month, so maybe I'll do something
right.
or have a plan. Whereas if we really said on the months that we know for sure, mm-hmm. these are the ones we know we want you here for, and then these are a proposed, maybe that would help.
Well, and then
where instead of having 12, you have,
quarterly.
Like, we know that November we always
right.
meet or October. I was just saying if there's a few that are critical, this one obviously came up and we didn't know for sure when it was going to be because it's whenever they're ready to present, probably.
Well, and so we have begun doing, and we've sent it out a couple times, the look ahead,
right.
where we've estimated a specific month when we're going to have the pension bonds and
you haven't. I probably have. So I probably have.
Well,
what I need
trying,
to do is
we're trying to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
do that as much as possible. And
right. So I probably missed that too. But I think that is helpful. I think that's.